Now, in order to understand this verse, we have to refer back to the whole episode in which it occurs. And I'll describe this episode just briefly, because I've often had occasion to mention it in the past, in previous talks. After his enlightenment, the Buddha felt inclined, apparently, according to the scriptures, not to say anything about it to anyone, to keep quiet. The new man was not prepared to speak. He realized that the truth that he had discovered, the reality which he had perceived, was very, very difficult, very abstruse, going far beyond the capacities of the vast majority of people. In fact, he saw that people were immersed in craving and in ignorance, and they would not be able to understand the truth even if he uttered it. So he was inclined, we are told, to remain inactive and not to teach. So this great being, Brahma, Brahma Sahampati, the Lord of a thousand worlds, a sort of cosmic father figure, if you like, he became aware of what was passing in the Buddha's mind. And he thought, he reflected, that this is terrible. If the Buddha, if the new man, does not speak, does not teach, then the whole world will perish. It may progress materially. People may become prosperous, even happy after a fashion, but there'll be no value in it if the Buddha does not teach, if there's no spiritual element in their existence, if the way to the higher evolution is not made open, the human race will just rot, it'll just stagnate, it'll perish. So Brahma Sahampati thought that at all costs, the Buddha, the new man, must be induced to teach. So he appeared in front of him, like a great golden light. And after the great golden light, there came the voice of Brahma Sahampati begging the Buddha, begging the new man to teach, begging him to make known to humanity the truth which he had discovered. And he said, it is true that the vast majority are sunk in craving and in ignorance, but there are just a few whose eyes are covered with only a little dust. For their sake, teach the truth that you've realized. So we are told that the Buddha, sitting there beneath the Bodhi tree, opened what is called his Buddha eye. Not an ordinary eye of flesh, but an eye of supranormal vision, an eye of intuitive insight. And with that Buddha eye, he looked out over the whole world and he saw the whole of humanity, and he saw them just like lotus flowers growing in a lotus lake. He saw that the vast majority were sunk in the mud, right down deep in the water. Some had grown a little bit higher up. They were just sprinkled with water, and there were just a very few, like lotuses standing completely free of water. So he decided, out of compassion, that he would teach, and he thereupon addressed to Brahma the verse already quoted, and especially those first two lines, open to them are the doors of the immortal. Let them that have ears release their faith. This was his second utterance, his utterance to the gods, his utterance to Brahma Sahampati. Open to them are the doors of the immortal. Open to humanity. Open to those with just a little dust on their eyes. Let them that have ears release their faith. Now there are one or two points here deserving comment. First of all, the term the immortal. In early Buddhist texts, we do not get the expression nirvana. We more often get the term the immortal, the deathless, the undying, if you like. Or in Pali, amrita. Amrita in Sanskrit, the sort of nectar of immortality, eternal life, if you like. above and beyond the changes of the world, above and beyond time. But it is, we may say, more or less, a synonym for enlightenment, for nirvana. So the Buddha has attained enlightenment. He's become the new man. He's broken through into the transcendental dimension of consciousness. Others, therefore, can follow his example, follow his teaching. They too can realize. They too can become enlightened. So the doors to the immortal are now open. Anybody can enter. Anybody who is prepared to make the effort. Anybody who is prepared to release his faith. Now, in the original Pali, this phrase, release their faith, is rather ambiguous. It can mean two things, or one of two things. It can mean giving up, releasing your wrong faith, and it can also mean releasing, manifesting, developing your right faith, your perfect faith. And here perhaps we ought to observe that faith, Shraddha, is of very great importance in the Buddhist spiritual tradition. By faith is not meant belief. Faith is not blind belief. Faith, we may say, is the response, the real living response of the whole being, and especially the emotional part of our being, to something. We may not be able to have a very clear idea of it conceptually, intellectually, but something which we intuitively perceive, which we feel, if you like, is greater and higher and nobler and more sublime and more worthwhile, of higher value than ourselves as we are now. Something to which we ought, as it were, to dedicate ourselves, if you like, surrender ourselves. Something for the sake of which we ought to live, even sacrifice ourselves to. So without faith in this sense, there's no spiritual life, there's no development. And we may say, quite frankly, that faith in this sense, this sort of faith, right faith, perfect faith, is rather lacking nowadays. There's plenty of faith of the wrong sort, faith in the wrong sort of values, lower values, inferior values. But faith, in the true sense, the right faith, the perfect faith, the confidence in something higher than ourselves, this is comparatively lacking.